Well, I want to begin today by wishing my son Micah a big happy birthday. Today is Micah's 15th birthday, and we are so proud of you, son, and the young man that you are becoming. We love you, and happy birthday. It's good to continue to be with you as we are in church online all the time. And I want you to know that we can't wait until we can all gather together again. We are excited and we are planning and we are praying for that time. But we are also committed to two things. And that is, number one, safety. That we want to make sure that we are creating safe environments for all of us. And then secondly, we want it to be a quality experience when we come back together. It's interesting now to look back on the last 9 or 10 weeks where we've been in this new season. And as a church leadership team, early on, we began to ask the question, when all of this is over, and of course, all those weeks and months ago now, we thought it would be over sooner than it is. But when this is over, we began to ask the question, when we look back, what do we want to be known for? And it's been so helpful over these past few weeks because we have this rallying cry of really what we want for ourselves, for our families, for our church, and for the 757. And the rallying cry we landed on has been hope for the 757. We want to experience hope and we want to share hope both spiritually and practically with people in our community. So thank you for leaning into this, because it's what you're doing week after week, loving neighbors, loving our community, that is really about sharing hope. Now, as we think about this, and as I've reflected on this, I realized that what we did all those weeks ago was really just apply a principle from Franklin Covey's book, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. You may have read the book. If not, I recommend it. It's a fantastic book. But he has a phrase in 7 Habits that is simply this. He encourages people to begin with the end in mind. Begin with the end in mind. So that's what we did for this COVID-19 season. We said, when it's over, what do we want to be known for? Well, we want to be known for being people of hope. Now, today, as we are going to look in 1 Peter, Peter, the apostle of Jesus, Peter, the disciple of Jesus, Peter, the man who denied Jesus 3 times right before Jesus was crucified, and Peter, the man who was a leader in the early church. Peter, in his letter, 1 Peter, which was written to encourage the church, he wants us to begin with the end in mind. And we're going to pick up where we left off last week. We're going to pick up in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7. Here's what Peter says. Might not have ever thought about this little verse before. Peter says, "The end of all things is near." Now, if we just pause for a second, this is a really big statement. The end of all things is near. And I read this little verse and I thought to myself, what in the world does that mean? Because when I hear the end of all things is near, and then I think about the fact that Peter wrote this 2,000 years ago, he wrote it 2,000 years ago. I don't know what his definition of near is or soon is, but 2,000 years does not seem like the end is near. So what is Peter getting at here? And as I thought about it, this is sort of how I want to explain it to you, and hopefully this will be helpful. We have 5 children, and when our children were younger, when we wanted to go out or when we wanted to go to community group, we had to get a babysitter. That's what all parents do. They get babysitters for their kids in order to go out. And that was one of the ways that I helped at home, was getting the babysitters. And that's a hassle. If you've ever gone to a weekly community group and had to get a babysitter every week, you know it is a hassle. Well, then one day, this glorious season came upon us. One day, my wife and I looked at each other, and we began to have this conversation. Do we really need the babysitter? Or can we go out and leave the children home alone? And so we developed this very complex matrix to help us figure out if we could leave the kids by themselves and go out without having a babysitter. And here's the matrix that we came up with and that really served us pretty well in our parenting journey. We asked ourselves this one question. If the fire department were to come to our house while we were gone, would we go to jail? That was the question. Would we go to jail if the kids had to call the fire department? And we discerned that we would not go to jail if the house burned down. And we figured most of the kids would survive. And so we began to go out without a babysitter. And it is life-changing. If you have little kids, one day it will happen. Now, when we left the kids home by themselves, they had two different ways that they could respond. The first thing they could have done, they could choose to go buck wild. They could choose to do whatever they wanted. They could eat whatever they wanted. They could watch whatever they wanted. They could treat each other however they wanted. They could have gone wild while we were gone. But the other thing they could choose, and this is what we were hoping they would choose, they could choose to honor their father and their mother. Our desire for them, our hope for them, was that in our absence, they would choose to honor us. See, side note, for parents of little kids, the whole goal of parenting, like the main goal for child rearing, is to train children to honor you. It's the main thing we're trying to do, to train children to honor their father and their mother. And let me encourage you, all children have to be trained, right? Which means all children inherently don't honor their father and mother. And so we're working on that. We're working on that, and we're working on it over and over and over. But our hope was that they would. And sometimes they did, and sometimes they didn't, because they're children. Now, listen, when you think about Peter saying the end of all things is near, I want you to picture this idea that Jesus, while he was on earth, he was modeling for his followers. He was modeling for his disciples what it looked like to be a person who lived in the kingdom of God and who lived out the values of the kingdom of God. And then Jesus was crucified. He died. He rose again. But after his resurrection, he ascended into heaven. And when Jesus ascended, he left us to be the people who will live out his kingdom values. And one day he will return. And so the question is not, when we think about the end is near, the question is not what is the date that Jesus is coming back. If anybody tries to tell you they know the date that Jesus is coming back, they don't know the date. Jesus made it very clear, nobody knows the hour or the day. But what we do know is that we are invited to live in a way that honors our Heavenly Father and honors Jesus while we wait for his return. That's what he wants for us, to honor him from our hearts. And so he expands verse 7 like this. He says, the end of all things is near. Jesus will return again. Therefore, be alert and of sober mind so that you may pray. Now, why does he say alert and sober-minded? Well, we saw last week, and you can go back and read it for yourself, that Peter is describing, just a few verses ago, the way that people tend to live apart from God. And it is not very alert, and it is often not very sober. And so he says, in light of the fact that the end is near, live in this new way, alert and sober-minded, so that you may pray. Now, why does he connect prayer here? Well, one reason might be that, you know, you don't get very far in prayer if you're not alert and if you're not sober. So that will help us with our prayers. But here's the other reason. Prayer is not mostly about getting God to do what we want him to do. Let's remember, we saw this a few weeks ago, March 15th, when we talked about prayer. Prayer is mostly about us hearing from our Heavenly Father about how we can be about his kingdom. Prayer is less about me getting God on my agenda, and prayer is more about me getting on God's agenda. So in light of the fact that the end of all things is near, it makes sense that I should be alert and sober-minded and pray. And then Peter gives some other simple instructions. Verse 8, he says this, above all, love each other deeply. We could talk about that for weeks and weeks. Because love covers over a multitude of sins. Now, I'll tell you what I love about this little verse. I love that it doesn't say love eliminates sin. See, let me encourage you, as we're in the middle of self-quarantining still, as we're still in a, you know, safer at home sort of mode, and as if you live with people, maybe they're getting on your nerve, maybe there seems to be a little more sin inside of all of us. Love doesn't eliminate all of that. I mean, hopefully it minimizes it, and we could talk about that a different time. But what love definitely does is cover it over. It allows forgiveness and life to be a part of the ethic, the ethos of people who are following Jesus. Love covers over a multitude of sins. He says this in verse 9. He says, offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. I love this one too, right? Because if you've ever been a person who practices hospitality, let's just say you host your community group. You know that the temptation of all of us who host community group, you know what we used to host on Monday nights, that every week, groups at 7, every week about 6:30, there would be a temptation for some grumbling because these people were going to come invade our house and why are we doing this and blah, 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 blah. 2,000 years ago, people were the same way. It's just a part of human nature. He says, hey, don't do that. Practice hospitality without grumbling. But then he gets to verse 10, and this is really where I want to land today. Verse 10, he says this. He says, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. In its various forms. And we're going to talk about this idea of gifts, gifts of grace. Those words are very similar in the original language. It's not the exact same word, but it's a very similar word. And I want to talk today about spiritual gifts. I want to talk about this idea of spiritual gifts. Now, if you've been around church a long time, you might be familiar with spiritual gifts. And I want you to know that I am not going to say everything there is to be said about spiritual gifts today. And I want you to know that if maybe you're newer to faith or newer to following Jesus or just newer to the idea of spiritual gifts, I want you to know that at no point today am I going to show up at your house with new AirPods. It's just not happening. It's not that kind of a spirit. It's not that kind of a gift. But I do want to. I want to over the next few minutes. Here's my hope. I want to take some of the mystery out of spiritual gifts. I want to simplify spiritual gifts for us so that we can begin to walk in them in the simple way that God has always planned for us to live. Because spiritual gifts should not be weird and they should not be scary and they should not be stressful. They should be a gift. And so we're going to allow, because this is what we always do, we're going to allow the text to define what the text means. We say this all the time. When you're reading the Bible and you're trying to understand it, context, the words around the words, the verses around the verses, help us to know what a word or an idea means. So we're going to look back at verse 10, and we're going to let verse 10 define spiritual gifts for us. So here we go, verse 10 again. Three big parts that I see. Each of you, because spiritual gifts come to individuals, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others. So here's this gift. It's to use to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. So as I thought about this verse, here's the definition of spiritual gifts that I came up with. Here it is, a spiritual gift. It's your way of serving others and sharing God's grace. That's what a spiritual gift is. It's your way of serving others and sharing God's grace. So I want to break this down for you. The first thing you need to see is spiritual gifts. It's your way. I want you to know today. It's your way of serving others. I want you to know today, it's your way. It's how God has made you. It's who he has created you to be. And I'll tell you, if there's anything I could have for you in this conversation about spiritual gifts, I would want you to be able to thank God for who he made you to be. Because he made you on purpose. And he gave you the interests that he gave you. And he gave you the personality that he gave you. And he gave you the desires and the abilities. He made you a complete person in his image. And if we could all be done looking at others and wanting gifts we don't have or abilities we don't have, oh, if we could just say, God, thank you for making me who you have made me to be. Now, I created a Venn diagram this week. It's, you know, not original, but I'm hopeful that it will help us. Here's the intersection. Here's how you discover who you are. You begin with the question, Who do you want to help? Who do you want to help? Spiritual gifts are not about guilt. Spiritual gifts are not about ranking. Who do you want to help? If you love preschool kids, that's awesome. If you're like me and you're afraid of other people's preschool kids, that's awesome. Who do you want to help? Maybe you want to help the poor. Maybe you want to help elementary school kids. You want to help teenagers. You want to help people who are new in their faith. Who do you want to help? And listen, there's not a right or wrong answer. The question is simply, who do you want to help? And then, what are you passionate about? What are you passionate about? So maybe you really want to help elementary school kids, and you're passionate about performing. You're passionate about singing or dancing or acting. There is a place for you on our stage at Treasure Cove. Maybe you want to help the homeless. You're interested in helping the homeless, and what you're really passionate about is economic development. And so you want to help homeless people get back on their feet and find a job. That's spiritual. That's a part of who God created you to be. And then the third piece is, what are you good at, right? What are you good at? So who do you want to help? Well, we'll take my friend Mallory Andrews. Mallory Andrews is one of our volunteer worship leaders here at Grace. So Mallory wanted to serve with adults. And Mallory is passionate about music, and she is passionate about musical worship. She loves to worship God through song. But Mallory has a third piece that a lot of you don't have. Mallory's actually good at singing. See, you might love adults and you might love the stage and you might be passionate about worship, but if you can't sing, that's how you know that's not your spiritual gift. But Mallory has a desire to help adults engage in worship, and she's good at singing. So she joined the music team, and she came and she auditioned, and she served as a singer. And then she had interest in being a worship leader, so we put her through the worship leader apprentice process, and eventually she became one of our volunteer worship leaders. It's her using her spiritual gift. Now, this doesn't just happen at church. See, here's one way this happened with me. Years ago, in the summertime, I ended up at a PTA meeting. I don't even know how I got there, but the first PTA meeting I ever attended in someone's home, it was a friend's home, and in the course of this meeting, it came up that they needed a PTA president for the next year. And so through the course of the meeting, I said, hey, I'll be president of the PTA. Now, why did I say that? Well, here's why. Who do you want to help? I want to help kids at Malibu Elementary School because I've had kids at Malibu for 15 years. In fact, we finish in a couple weeks. We'll be done with Malibu. What are you passionate about? I'm passionate about teams being well-led. I'm passionate about organizations running well and leadership. And what are you good at? Well, that's what I'm good at. I'm good at running meetings. I'm good at leading teams. And so I said, hey, I'll be PTA president. And then later in the conversation, it came up that maybe someone else would be president. And they asked me, they said, well, Eric, would you like to be vice president? And because I know myself well, I said, no, I don't want to be vice president. I said it in a nice way. And I said, I don't need to be president. I'm happy to serve, but I just know I'm not really wired to be vice president of the PTA. So I served as president for a couple years. Now, here's a great quote from Oscar Wilde. Oscar Wilde says this, be yourself. Everyone else is already taken. Be yourself. So that's the first part. It's your way. Spiritual gifts. Here we go. It's your way of serving others. It has to be your desire to serve others. This is actually the most difficult part, I think, because you have to be willing to answer this question honestly. Here's the question. Do I have a desire to serve others in a way that serves others? Do I have a desire to serve others in a way that serves others? And it has to be a desire to serve, because I guarantee that the more you get involved in serving, yes, you find your fit and you're excited. You discover who God has created you to be. It's fantastic. That first time you go, oh, it's so wonderful. And then eventually, it just becomes serving. Eventually, somebody treats you like a servant. And that's okay for someone to treat you like a servant, to treat me like a servant, because I am called to serve. That's what servants do. And so I have to wrestle, do I have this desire? And then the other thing we have to wrestle through is the second half of the question. Do I have a desire to serve in a way that serves others? This is why it has to be something both that we are passionate about and we're good at. Because if what we're doing isn't blessing the community, isn't blessing the body, then we're not actually serving others. And there are a lot of us that wrestle with that because we want to do something that God hasn't created us to do. My classic illustration of this, the way I experienced this, years ago, we were living in Kentucky working at this church, and this church had a puppet ministry, which is great. Except that we were having a church picnic that day. It was a beautiful Sunday afternoon. We're playing volleyball. We're grilling out. And I remember playing volleyball, and all of a sudden, someone comes over and says, "You need to stop playing volleyball. It's time for the puppet show." I'm like, "What?" I'm like, "Yeah, you need to stop playing volleyball. It's time for puppet ministry." And so everybody stopped having fun, and we went and we, you know, got in rows and we watched the puppet team. And I thought to myself, the only people doing ministry here are the people watching the puppet team. Not because there's anything wrong with puppet team, but because the desire in that moment was not to bless the people at the picnic. We want to use our gifts to serve. Do you have a desire to serve? It will get inconvenient. It will take effort. It might cost you financially. Are you willing to serve in a way that serves others? And then the third piece is this. Here's the third piece. It goes to the next slide. Spiritual gifts. Your way of serving others and sharing God's grace. So it's who He's created you to be, to serve, but the difference between spiritual gifts and just serving in the PTA if you're not a follower of Jesus is this last one. It's sharing God's grace. Now, I'm thankful that everybody who serves in the PTA, that's awesome. But the difference between walking in your spiritual gift and just doing something you're good at is this end point of God's grace. And here's how I think we should think about God's grace in light of the fact that the end is near. God's grace builds God's kingdom, not mine. God's grace builds God's kingdom, not mine. So when I was showing up at PTA, though we never prayed at any meeting, I was praying for the school. And my desire was to help Malibu be as good a place as it could be, because I think in God's kingdom, all children get to have a phenomenal educational experience. That's why we are for our schools. We just think that's a kingdom justice issue. We want that for all kids. Are you leveraging what you have to build God's kingdom? However you're gifted, whatever you're passionate about, is it helping for human flourishing to happening? And in your mind, are you there to share God's grace? See, two people can be doing the exact same thing in very different ways. Two coaches, right? We'll get back to sports someday. Two coaches, both could be Christians, but one could be showing up to coach. And just, you know, it's nothing wrong with winning. In fact, I love winning. I'm a huge fan of winning. It's one of my favorite things to do. One coach could be all about winning and player development, and one coach could have in his mind that he is helping to expand the kingdom of God. Now, not at the, you know, expense, we don't have to choose the expense of winning, but maybe. Because the attitude, you're showing up to build the kingdom or you're showing up to build your kingdom. God's grace inspires us to build the kingdom of God. Let me give you a really, really tangible example, modern day. Okay, who do you want to help? What are you passionate about? What are you good at? There are spiritual gifts that are in the Bible, and we're so thankful there are many spiritual gifts in the Bible. But there are many things that we are spiritually gifted to do that aren't listed in the Bible, because we don't believe that the list of spiritual gifts in the Bible was ever meant to be exhaustive. So for instance, in our church right now, if you want to help, whether it's adults or students or kids, and you are passionate about video, you love to shoot videos, you love to edit videos, you have an iPhone, you have iMovie, you're just interested in shooting video or making videos, and you're reasonably good at it or you're willing to be learned, we need you to use that spiritual gift. Because you can make videos to build your YouTube following, which is fine, that's not a spiritual gift. But if you're willing to take your passion for video, and I'm not making this up, we have a need right now in our church for people who are excited about video in preschool, elementary, middle school, high school, adults, for all of us. If you want to use that passion to build the kingdom of God, that's God working through you. That's your way of serving others and sharing God's grace. Now, it might not be videos. Maybe it's administration. Maybe it's leadership. Maybe it's shepherding. You just like to be with small groups. God wants to use who you are and what you are passionate about to serve others and share his grace. And this is why I want to ask you, would you please take this seriously? Look at verse 7 again. Look at what he said. The end of all things is near. This is the time. Time is short. Jesus is returning. He is one day going to return. I know it's been 2,000 years. He is returning, and you are getting older. The end of all things is near. Now, let me show you where this really struck home for me. I was looking through some old photo albums this past week because I was looking for a picture, actually for a different sermon illustration. And while I was looking through all these old photo albums, it was really interesting. And kids, if you've never seen a photo album, it used to be that when you took a picture, if you wanted to see the picture, you actually had to go to the store and pay someone to print it. And I know many of you kids might not have ever seen a photo album. That's how it worked. And so we would pay to print the pictures, and then we'd find out if they were good. And anyway, I was going through photo albums, and I came upon this picture of me and my dad. Came across this picture of me and my dad. And I just forgot this picture existed. And I loved this picture. I had to, digitize it. So it's maybe not the greatest, but the original was fantastic. And this was taken in May of 1996. Now, my dad was a great dad. He loved me. He loved people. He was involved when we played soccer. He was involved in soccer. He actually was president of the soccer league. He was involved at our church. He served as an elder. But he was a simple guy. He managed a grocery store for most of his adult life. No great worldly acclaim, no great financial wealth, but he really did love people well. So May of 96, what none of us knew when this picture was taken is that he would die in May of 97. A year later, May of 1997, got pancreatic cancer and very, very quickly passed away, about 6 weeks. And it's a reminder to me as I came across this picture, not just of how much I love my dad, but the end is near, my friends. The end is near. And you got to ask yourself, and I got to ask myself, am I willing to deal with the reality that none of us know, but we all have the responsibility and the privilege to leverage the one life we have, if you are a follower of Jesus, to leverage the one life you have to serve others and share God's grace with all that he has given you. I'm so thankful that my dad did that. I'm so thankful. And I want that for you too. I want that for you. See, here's what Peter said. He said, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. And we want to help. And here's how we can help. If you go to gracebible.church/serve, we want to help. Here's what you will find at this website. I'll just leave it up there while I tell you what you will find. You will find a spiritual gifts assessment that is integrated with sort of a personality temperament assessment. Now, it's not going to grade you. You can't fail. It's just going to help you know about yourself. Our connections pastor, Michael Feldman, found this fantastic free resource that will tell you both about how you are wired internally as a person with your temperament, and some of the spiritual gifts that you might have as we find in the scriptures. And we want to help. Please, if you're not sure who God has made you to be, how you're to serve others, what he's created you to be good at, we want to help, and we want to help you make a difference with your life. And just because we're not gathering together on Sundays doesn't mean that we can't all come together to serve and that God isn't using people in our church over and over, week after week after week. We have so many opportunities for people to get involved right now using all of the gifts and all of the temperaments. So check it out. Take the assessment. And then after you take the assessment, if you're not involved serving anywhere, there's another little button that says, how can I serve or join a team? We want to help you join a team. Now, as we conclude today, I want to give you three questions that you can discuss with your family, friends, your community group, whoever you're watching this with. Here are the questions for today. Number one, share who you might like to help, what you are passionate about, and what you are good at. who you might like to help, what you're passionate about, and what you're good at. So if you don't know all of those, share as much as you know about any of those. Number two, where have you served in the past? Where might you want to serve in the future? And just discuss. Number three, take the assessment. So maybe you pause, you take the assessment, it'll take you 15 or 20 minutes. Take the assessment and discuss the results with your friends or family. Now, I'll warn you, when you take the assessment, you have to personally save the results because they don't bookmark them anywhere. It's a free assessment. But discuss who God has wired you to be. Look, Peter wasn't kidding when he said, "The end is near. You have one life. What are you going to do with it? How are you going to use your one life to serve others and to share God's grace? That's what I want. That's what I want for you. That's what I want for us." Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. And in the name of Jesus, I ask that you would inspire each of us and equip and empower each of us to leverage who you have created us to be, to serve others, and to share your grace. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.